You've probably seen the bumper sticker that says, "Miracles happen." While that may be true, Skip Heitzig says they may not happen as often as we think.
Now let's get something straight here. A miracle is not an everyday occurrence. We have a tendency to overnaturalize the miraculous. I hear it all the time. Oh, a baby was born. That's a miracle. No, it's not. The sunrise is a miracle. Finding a parking space at Christmas time at Dillard's, that's miraculous. No, it's providence. But we overuse the term miraculous when these things happen every day. That's not a miracle. St. Augustine was right when he said the daily miracles of God grow cheap through repetition.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study.
You know, it's funny the things that can bring joy into our lives. For some, it's chocolate. For others, it's a thoughtful gift from a loved one. For hundreds of school children in Iowa a few years ago, it was a pink alligator. The gator was flown to Iowa as part of an albino animal exhibit and had turned pink while adjusting to its new environment. You know, Abraham and Sarah also received a little pink bundle of joy, one that was far less dangerous. There are some good lessons for us to learn from their happy moment, and we'll explore them today here in The Connection. But first, everyone seems fascinated with darkness and evil this time of year, and with the documentary Shattered, you can learn just how dangerous that fascination can be. Here's more.
Your children are drowning. They're drowning in a flood of media. Today's youth have more ways to access more media anywhere, anytime. Just how is this deluge affecting our children? And just how much is the occult shaping today's entertainment? Shattered is a documentary that explores the influence of today's movies, video games, and music, and how the parents and the church can equip our children to make wise and discerning choices in our media-saturated society. Shattered explores these vital issues with experts such as Steve Russo, Lee Strobel, Bob Walacheski, and more. Hosted by Skip Heitzig, Shattered is a look at the dark side of today's media you can't miss. Get your copy today for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
The birth of Isaac was much more than just another baby being born. We'll learn why in today's study. So grab your Bibles and stay with us to find out more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to Genesis chapter 21, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he continues with our study on how God always keeps his promises.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He's always on time. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "There are no loose threads in the providence of God. No stitches are dropped. No events are left to chance. The great clock of the universe keeps good time, and the whole machinery of providence moves with unerring punctuality." Let me tell you a cool little story. Happened years ago in Scotland. The Clark family had a dream. Their dream was to move to the United States of America. It was a big task. They had 9 kids. 11 of them. Mr. Clark needed to save up enough money and get all the passports and stuff to get 11 people from Scotland to America. Well, he saved and worked hard and planned. The day came when he had all the cash. He bought passports, made reservations on a brand new ocean liner that was leaving, and they got tickets. They were all ready to go. 7 days before setting off from the dock at Liverpool, England, the youngest son was bitten by a dog. The doctor sewed up the cut, but because in those days they were afraid of rabies, the whole family, The whole family had to be quarantined for 2 weeks, 14 days. They missed their ship. Mr. Clark was livid, angry, angry at God, angry at his boy, angry at that dog, until 5 days after the ship launched out, they got the news that that new unsinkable ocean liner named the Titanic, the very ocean liner they had scheduled to be on, sunk, and hundreds of lives were lost. When Mr. Clark heard that news, he hugged his son. He hugged the dog. And he thanked God that the Clark family was saved at just the right time. Saved by the dog, but actually saved by the grace of God. What might seem to you like a delay may just be an appointment with destiny. So God is reliable. God is punctual. We learned something else. God is initial. That is, God does something first. He initiates and man responds. Look at verse 3. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Why did he call him that? Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. Why did he do that? Notice, as God had commanded him. Here's the point. God acted in faithfulness and expected Abraham to act in obedience, to respond to God's initial action of being a God of blessing to him. And so he did. He named his son Isaac, because in chapter 17, God says, you're going to have a kid, you're going to call him Isaac. Yitzhak is the Hebrew, means laughter. What a reminder this kid would always be to a dad who laughed for joy, to a mom who laughed in unbelief, and to the fact that God brought joy into their family. Yitzhak, laughter. So first, Abraham does what God tells him to do in naming his son Isaac. Second, he circumcises his son because God told him to do that too. In chapter 17, at the beginning, he said, every male child in your household you will circumcise. And when they're born into your house, you'll do it on the eighth day. And so Abraham is obeying God. What a great father, putting his son on the right spiritual track by giving him the mark that he belongs to God at 8 days old. The point that I want to make is that God's promises should be responded to by obedience. God's promises and God's faithfulness in keeping his promises should be responded to by us with nothing less than absolute obedience. If God said, for me to do something, he's been so good to me, I'll do it. We love him because he first loved us. I respond to God. A lot of times we try to bargain with God. Well, God, if you save me from this and do this, I promise I'll do whatever. You've always heard stories about people falling off a cliff. God, if you save me, I promise I'll do this. Or falling off a roof of a house, save me and I promise. Heard about two sailors that were in a raft, stranded out at sea. They thought, we're dead. Nobody for days found them. And so one sailor says, God, I'm sorry. I've led a worthless life. I haven't paid attention to my kids. I haven't been kind to my wife. But I promise, Lord, if you save me, that I'll... And the second sailor said, hold it. I see land. In other words, whatever you were going to promise God, you don't have to promise him anymore because we have land. No, the land should prompt the devotion. And that's what happens here with Abraham, is that God's faithfulness prompted his fruitfulness in obeying his God. Look now at verse 5. There's a fifth thing we learn, or fourth thing we learn about God, and that is God is capable. God is capable. You have those so far? God is reliable. God is, what's the second one? Good, you're taking notes. The third one, God is initial. And the fourth one, God is capable. Look at verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now just stop right there and just look at that verse sort of isolated for a moment. There is a man named Abraham who is 100 years old when his wife has a child. She's in her 90s. On a human level, this is impossible. That's why she laughed when a year before God said, you're going to have a kid. She went, Yeah, right. And the point is simple. This is a miracle. This is miraculous. God performed something humanly impossible that we would designate as a miracle. That's the whole point of the description in Hebrews 11 of Abraham. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, it says. What a great description of an old man. And him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Now let's get something straight here. A miracle is not an everyday occurrence. We have a tendency to overnaturalize the miraculous. I hear it all the time. Oh, a baby was born. That's a miracle. No, it's not. The sunrise is a miracle. Finding a parking space at Christmas time at Dillard's, that's miraculous. No, it's providence. But we overuse the term miraculous when these things happen every day. That's not a miracle. St. Augustine was right when he said, the daily miracles of God grow cheap through repetition. Now this is a bona fide miracle. Because this doesn't happen every day. When is the last time you know about a 90-year-old woman having a kid? Webster's Dictionary defines a miracle as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. I want you to know something about the God you serve. He's capable, meaning he can do anything. God is never a prisoner to the laws of nature that he initiates and institutes. He can always supersede them. Now, we can too, sometimes. We can supersede laws, but only by bringing into play other laws of nature. For instance, the law of gravity says you're going to stay on this earth. You're not going to be flying up in the sky. And so you get an airplane and you, 747, you put 500 people in it and 45,000 pounds of luggage. That's what it can hold, and we use up every bit of it the way we overpack these days. And what are the odds that that weighty thing is going to get up in the air? According to Isaac Newton, the universal law of gravity, it's earthbound. But it can be superseded by laws of aerodynamics, thrust, propulsion, and that huge, heavy thing can fly and glide across the world. So we can supersede laws by other laws, but God doesn't need to instill any other law. God can just suspend or intervene into natural law, and we call that a miracle. This is a miracle. She's in her 90s. Humanly impossible. She has a child. Now listen to this description, Hebrews 11. Sarah, this is Hebrews 11:11, if you're taking notes and want to write it down. Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. You see, we read the story and we forget the obvious. How did she do that without dying? It says she received strength to conceive. It was a supernatural event. By the way, it was a double miracle. It wasn't that she just had a child. She was able to nurse the child, right? Verse 7. She said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? And then in verse 8, so the child grew and was weaned. I would infer that Sarah, the mom, gal in her 90s, the one who received strength to conceive and have a child, was also given the miraculous strength by God to nurse that child and wean it through these early stages. Here's a question I want you to ponder. I'll ponder it with you. It's the same question God asked this woman who now has a child about a year ago when she laughed. And God said, why'd you laugh? She goes, I didn't laugh. God said, yeah, you did. God asked this question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You ponder that for a moment. Is there anything? Can you think of anything? Does anything come to mind right now that you hold on to that and you say, well, now that is too hard for the Lord? Are you in a tough marital situation? Is the word cancer loom large in your life? Is there something with your job that you've been trying to change for a long time and it seems like it's not changing? Is there depression that has come into your life? I'm not saying that God will immediately heal you or do anything tomorrow, but He can. He can. What I want you to do is to focus on the capability of God, on His ability. You may be at the end of your resources. God has a whole lot more of His resources to give you. Number five, and we'll close with this. The fifth thing this tells us about God is that God is bountiful. God is bountiful. The last two verses of our paragraph. Verse 6, Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Here's the point. God lavished upon an elderly couple blessing after blessing after blessing. Not just promise after promise after promise, but blessing after blessing after blessing. Gave him land, gave him wealth, gave him lots of servants, and now gave him a son in their old age. God turned a retirement home into a maternity ward. That is so outlandish. The only response is laughter. You can only laugh at that in joy. And that's the whole idea. It's just like, it's so good to be true. God is so good. You can only laugh at that. There's two scriptures that come to my mind as I read that and pondered this thought during the week that reveal some of the joy that this couple who'd waited 25 years were feeling. First scripture is Proverbs 13. You know it well. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the dream comes true, there's life and joy. They're experiencing that proverb. The other one is Psalm 30, verse 11. David is dedicating his house, and God's been so good to him, and he says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. How many here can say with Sarah what she said in verse 6? God made me laugh. He's brought me such joy. It seems that the older we get, we're not able to say that. We can kind of get happy when we're kids and laugh 150 times a day, and we can chuckle maybe 15 times when we're older. God made me laugh. I think a lot of us try to blame God. God made me angry. God made me grumpy. God made me serious. Christianity Today said, some people think it's difficult to be a Christian and laugh. I think it's the other way around. God writes a lot of comedy. It's just that he has so many bad actors. Amen. Amen. There's too many of them in the kingdom. Too many of them. We know that this gift that brought laughter into the home, and their child was named that. What a great name, Laughter. This is my son. What's his name? Laughter. Tell me about it. I laughed when God told me I was going to have him. I said, God, have you looked at me lately? Have you looked at him lately? But here he is, so miraculous. And everybody laughed along. Such joy. Laughter has a lot of physical and mental benefits. I found some on the internet. Let me share them with you. Laughing produces hormones that facilitate healing, that reduce inflammation and enhance relaxation. And some of the things I read say that when you smile, even if it's a forced smile, it will help you. Laughing increases the heart rate. It raises the blood pressure. It speeds up the breathing and increases oxygen consumption. Then the rate slows down. The pressure drops and the muscles relax again. Laughter aids in digestion. Tell jokes around the table. Laughter can also raise pain tolerance, even with obstetrical patients. All of that we've already known about, because the Bible says so. 3,000 years before the internet was ever invented, Solomon wrote this proverb, Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now, you know what saddens me? Is that too many people connect Christianity with exactly the opposite. Oh, you're a Christian. You must be very sad. You must have no life at all. You had nowhere else to turn. You were at the end of your rope. And sometimes we are at the end of our rope when we come to Christ, who is our life. But It's sad when you connect Christianity with something that saps all of the flavor out of life. It does not. It puts zest into life. Helmut Thielicke, who is a theologian. A lot of you haven't heard of Helmut Thielicke because he is a theologian. But he wrote something profound. More profound than anything I've read in his other theological works. He said, "Should we not see that lines of laughter about the eyes are just as much marks of faith as are lines of care and seriousness? Is it only earnestness that is to be baptized? Is laughter pagan? We have already allowed too much that is good to be lost to the church." Tonight, I hope that you will leave here deciding to be more joyful, deciding to focus in on some of these things. After all, God is reliable, God is punctual, God is initial, God is capable, God is bountiful. And if all that's true and you know Him and are related to Him, you could decide to do what Nehemiah told the people of Jerusalem as they were building the wall. He said, "Now is not the time of sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
Well, I hope you've decided to make that true in your life. Joy and laughter warm people in such a unique way that if they're characteristics of our life, we'll end up drawing people to Christ like moths to a flame. Well, that's going to wrap things up for today. But before we go, here's Skip Heitzig and his wife, Lenya.
We've been making your mark in the series, Skip, and we've talked about the gift of laughter for a senior citizen. And
we're almost there.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. It's not very funny.
And yet we're laughing.
But now in your long walk with the Lord, have you ever had a moment like Abraham where you doubted or you laughed at one of God's promises?
Well, you know, I thought about that. And I think I've doubted if I heard God's voice, not His promise, not the Lord, but I have doubted, did I really hear God on that? Am I here because of something I wanted or somebody else wanted? And I sort of feel like I'm in a wilderness and I don't know what's up. Usually during those times, I'm not laughing, though. I'm pulling up my boots and even weeping a little bit. But I have laughed in wonder at what God's done here in Albuquerque, as an example.
Absolutely.
That He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And it's not by our strategy or our brilliant planning or our giftedness. It's just purely His grace. And we were able to catch that wave and ride it. And it feels really great to ride that. But sometimes I'll go back and go, wow.
Yeah, I think of our trip out here. We were in your little Datsun pickup truck. It was having an oil problem.
Engine problem. I had to put a quart of oil in every 100 miles.
It was like the Beverly Hillbillies from California, only in the opposite direction.
Right.
Yes. Was full of all of our worldly belongings. And I don't think I look back and laugh because I think God did give us promises coming here. We just happened to be the right people in the right place at the right time under God's will. But my response was, I trembled. I don't know how many times as the church grew, I would go to God and say, stop it.
I know.
It's too much. You know, I don't think I can do this. And it wasn't until, you know, midway through our journey, I think the Lord said, so are you just going to get out of the way? Are you doing it anyway?
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing this. Just relax and go for the ride and stop fighting it. So for me, it was more just daunting.
Mm. I love the fact that Abraham and Sarah laughed. Of course, Sarah laughed in unbelief. Abraham laughed in belief. I love the idea of adding laughter to our menu of life experiences. I don't think we laugh enough. I know life can be difficult, and I'm probably sure that people are listening right now who had some devastating things in their lives. But to be able to come out of that and into a season of joy and laughter and wonderment at God's goodness is such a healthy experience, and I think we need more of it.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Well, thanks for being honest and sharing those insights with us, Skip and Lenya. And for a copy of today's teaching, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll send you a free bonus teaching from Skip. It's called Life Hurts, Where's God? And it's free for anyone who gets in touch with us for the first time. That number again, 1-800-922-1888. or you can write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Have you ever had your faith tested? Well, on our next broadcast, we'll read about one of the most severe tests of faith ever faced and how an old man was able to pass that test. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.